I want to share with you something very personal to me. James chapter 4, the Bible says this, "From whence come wars and fighting among you?" You know, when he says among you, he's not talking about the lost world out there fighting and the wars in Iraq and the wars in Jerusalem. He's not talking about any of that. He's talking about the fighting amongst believers. He says, "From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lust." Father, in the next few minutes, as we talk about the importance of spending time with you, and then, Father, the importance of prayer, I pray you challenge our hearts about things that we need to do every day to walk with you and to have your power on our lives. God, I pray for the preachers that are here. I pray, Father, for the visitors that are here. I pray for those who are going to be in ministry in the future and those that are in ministry right now. I pray, Father, that you would just use this word today, your word, to encourage our hearts to do those things which we know we ought to do, and abstain from those things which we know we should abstain from. God, work in our lives. Make us what you want us to be. Teach us from your word, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are certain things that we know that we ought to do, and there are certain things that we know we ought not to do. Certain things that we ought to participate in, and certain things that we need to be careful about. Years ago, when I went back to Las Vegas, my wife and I graduated from Bible college. I was 22 years old. We went back to Las Vegas to start a church. I was born and raised in Las Vegas. When I was born there, there were 79,000 people. This year, there's 1.6 million people in Las Vegas. And so there's been a lot of people follow me to Las Vegas. It's been amazing to watch God work there. I grew up there. I went off to Bible college with the intent of coming back and starting a Christian school. We started a local church, and we now have a Christian school. Came back to Las Vegas to reach Las Vegas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I came back, I graduated from high school, went to college, graduated from college, 22 years old. We went back. Something happened that I never thought would happen. Some people started visiting our church that knew me when I was a teenager. In fact, the bad part of this was there were girls that knew me when I was a teenager that would come to church and visit our church. And they did not realize the transformation that God had placed in my life. And they thought that things were the way they used to be. And they said, "Hey, oh, one of our old friends is a preacher." They'd come in, they would come up and shake hands and talk. And man, I'd get my wife over there as soon as I could. And I told my wife, early part of our ministry, "You stand next to me. When I'm shaking hands, you be there. And if I ever get a panic look on my face, please run from the other side of the auditorium." And I was one day walking out into the foyer. We had a visiting singing group from a college that had come to sing, and I'm standing there, and a girl comes walking in the front door, runs down the aisle, and grabs me and kisses me. And I said, "That's a good thing to do if anybody ever does that to you. If you just do this, show your panic and your fright so your wife can see it all over your face." That's what I did. It's a good thing to do, and it really did freak me out, quite frankly. I was standing there. My wife got over there real quick, she said, "It's so good to see you." And my wife said, "Here." Later, that young lady got saved and called my wife up and apologized to her for that action, and we thank the Lord for that. But some strange things happened. I was driving down the road one day, very innocently driving down the road one day. I'm going down the road, and when you're driving down the road, you just have a tendency when you stop to look around and of what's going on all around you. I'd stopped at a stoplight. I looked over to my left, and there was a turning lane to my left. And there was a pretty blonde-haired girl sitting in the car next to me. And I just glanced over there for a moment. my wife, by the way, I used to tease my wife a lot, and the first 6 months of my marriage, my arm was black and blue, because my wife would say, "Stop that! Stop that!" And man, one day I took my shirt off, and she said, "What happened to you?" Well, I looked at her and said, "You happened to me." So I'm driving down the road, and I'm sitting at the stoplight. I looked at her, and she said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "Nothing." She said, I was innocent. It's a good thing not to look. There's certain things you shouldn't do. So I looked straight ahead. She said, "You were looking at that girl." I said, "I wasn't." So my wife, now I can't whistle worth anything. That's about the best I can do. That's it. But my wife is a tomboy who grew up out in the country. And my wife can take her fingers and put them in her thing, and she can whistle so loud you could hear it all over this campus. My wife said, you were looking at her. And so this is what my wife did. My wife whistled as loud as she could. She did that thing. And I'm sitting there, and then she ducked. And I you know, what do you do? There are certain things that you should do, and you know you should do them, and there are certain things that you know you shouldn't do. Specifically, there are some things that we need to do. I believe there are several things that you and I, as believers, need to do every single day. And I want you to understand that I believe that God wants us to walk with Him. I believe the power of God is available to anyone who will walk with God. There will be times that you go through trials. There will be times that you go through struggles, and you'll even wonder, where is God in this situation? But I want you to know the power of God is available to anyone who will walk with Him, and God wants to use our life, and God wants to use us to impact those that are around us. But if we're going to have God use us, if God is going to work in our lives, then there are certain things that we need to do every day. Here in James, God says, you know, Christians are fighting with each other, you're fussing with each other, and what you're doing is you're wanting what somebody else has, you kill and you desire to have, yet He says, you have not because you ask not. Something we ought to do every single day. We as believers, we have not, the Bible says, because we ask not. And then He says, when we do ask, we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our own lusts. God wants us to learn the secret of prayer. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Before we pray, however, there's some things that we need to do to prepare our hearts for prayer. These are things I believe that every Christian ought to do every single day. Number one, I believe every day you and I as believers ought to worship the Lord. Every single day you and I as believers ought to worship the Lord. Now, there's a lot of things that are referred to as worship today. You can turn on Christian TV and you can see all sorts of whacked out things in the name of worship. People are dancing all in the name of Jesus and worshiping so far. They'll talk about worshiping Him in song, and they'll talk about worshiping Him in all sorts of things. There's people who have what I call mood music, and they sort of sway to Jesus, and they call that worship. I want you to understand that is not the Bible definition of worship. To worship, according to the Bible, the word worship, very simply defined, the word worship in the Bible means to fall down before. This is worship. This is worship. To worship means to bow the knee or to fall down before. The wise men came before the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says they found Him, and the Bible says they bowed before Him, they worshiped Him. The Bible says that John on Patmos worshiped the Lord. He fell down before God. He worshiped Him. Daily in our culture, in our world today, you can turn on the news and you can see millions of unsaved Muslims bowing down and worshiping a false god bowing down, worshiping Him. That's what they're doing. And yet very few Christians today ever get on their knees before Almighty God. We need to get on our face before God and we need to say, God, I know I deserve to go to hell. I know that I deserve nothing but hell. And I know that You're a holy, righteous God. And I just want You to know that I love You and I want to serve You and I want to do what You want me to do. God, I'm Yours. I want to be Your servant. Day by day, we need to worship Him. Now, I'm not saying you need to stay down there for a long time. I have been on my knees at times. I've fallen asleep on my knees. It's a bad thing to do, especially when you're 51 years old. You have a hard time getting back up. You sort of have to roll over to your side and then kick your knees around a little bit, and then you can sort of get up. But the Bible tells us we need to worship the Lord. Every day, I want you to know this, every day I get down before God. Every day I worship the Lord. Every day you need to be alone with God. You need to worship the Lord. Second thing you need to do every day, every single day, you need to thank Him. Every single day you need to take time to thank Him for what He has done for you. God has done so much for us. The Bible says we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. As I go before God, before I pray, I need to thank Him for what He has done for me. I want to thank Him for allowing me to breathe. I want to thank Him for allowing me to live. I've got one more day to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I want to take time today to thank Him. I want to say, Lord, thank You. You say, does God care if we thank Him or not? Hey, remember the story of the 10 lepers? Remember the story of the 10 lepers? Jesus healed them. And healed them all. 9 of them ran away, and 1 turned around to thank Him. And Jesus said, of course, oh, you don't need to do that, just go away. That's not what He said. He said, oh, weren't there 10 healed? Where are the other 9? You know, God wants us to be thankful. God wants us to thank Him. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't have to wonder what the will of God is for my life. I know one thing is God's absolute will. He wants me to be thankful. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what is happening to me, I need to be thankful. Right after I started pastoring, in fact, about 1.5 years after I started pastoring, a guy got upset with me one day. Really got upset with me. And he wrote me an 8-page letter. And that 8-page letter told me what a rotten guy I was. He told me how lousy I was. He told me that I was ungrateful. He told me I was unthankful. That I used people. He said all I was out was to... And it just said all sorts of nasty things about me. When I got the letter, I said, my goodness, what kind of jerk writes a letter like this? And I was really upset about the letter. And I thought, boy, in all my righteous indignation, I've got some things to tell him. He's not going to get away with this. Before I did, God at least gave me enough sense to call a friend of mine. I called a friend of mine and I said, hey, I got this letter. I said, I've never gotten a letter like this before in my life. This guy is accusing me of all sorts of things. He said, hey, before you talk to him, there's something I want you to read. And he directed me to a piece of literature and he said, I want you to read that. And then he called me back and he said, talk to me. I said, okay, I'll read it. This will help me. He said, oh, yeah. The literature said, how to respond when somebody reacts negatively to your ministry. I said, oh, this is perfect. This will really help me to chew this guy up and spit him out. This is really going to be wonderful. So I read through it, and the very first thing it said was, thank God for what has just happened. I said, what? This guy said nasty things about me, and he's unkind, and he's not right with God. And the first thing it said to do was to thank God. And then he quoted 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He said you need to take time to thank God for the fact that this person's upset with you and ask God to teach you through this situation. I thought, my goodness, that doesn't sound right. So I read on. I thought, well, maybe the other good part's coming, and the good part did come. I continued to read on, and as I read on, it said, now, after you thank God and you mean it with your heart, he said, you need to go to the person that responded to your ministry in a negative way and thank him. And then he said, go to that person. Don't just thank him. Go to him and thank him, and then say to him something like this. I would really appreciate it if you would be willing to share with me other areas of weakness that you see in my life. Well, I was thrilled about that instruction. I thought, this is just exactly what I wanted to hear. He said, what you need to do is then thank him and just be willing to listen to him. And I read through that, and I called up Marlon, and I said, is this the right piece of paper that you wanted me to read? He said, yes. He said, just try that. You know what? I went before God, and as I began to thank God for that, God began to burden my heart that I needed to do what it said. You know what I did? Man's office wasn't far from mine, and so I went over to his office, and I walked into his office. Brother Kuntz, in his office, he was sitting behind his desk. He knew I was coming in, and he was sitting there like this. Like I'm about to jump over the desk and beat his face in or something, you know? He's sitting there, and I said, hi, I'm so glad that you're willing to meet with me. And he said, yeah, what do you want? I said, I just wanted to come in here and tell you how much I appreciate you. I said, you obviously love me very much for you to be willing to take time to write me an 8-page letter to show me all the areas of weakness I have in my life. And I, by the way, I really didn't feel that in my heart. I was just trying to do what was right. And so I said, you showed me some things in there. I said, I just want you to know I was totally unaware. I was unaware that anybody thought that I acted that way. And I said, you've pointed out some things in my life that will really help me. And I really want to learn so that I don't offend anybody as bad as I've offended you ever again. I don't mind offending people with the Word of God, because the Word of God will offend. The truth of God's Word will offend. But I don't want to offend somebody with my actions and my attitude. And so I said to him, I said, you know what? I want you to know. And it's amazing. As I said these words, I began to believe what I was saying. I said, you know what? You could probably teach me some things. You probably will never want to come back to our church again. But you could really help me. Because if I was this offensive to you, I'll probably be this offensive to somebody else. And I really don't want to do that. I would wonder if you would be willing to go out to dinner with me. I'll take you and your wife out. I'll pay for dinner. And if you would just sit down, maybe before we go out to dinner, you and your wife make a list of things that have been an offense to you. It would really help me out. And I again want to ask you to forgive me. And I want you to know I'm thankful for you and thankful that you took time to write this letter. And he sat there like this. And I said, would you be willing to do that? He said, well, sure. And I said, well, thank you. And I shook his hand and I walked out. You know what happened? About 2.5 hours later, he came into my office. He said, I had to talk to you. He said, I don't even know what to say except this. He said, every time I've ever wanted to end a relationship with somebody, including the fact that I left my home when I was a teenager, I wrote my parents a letter and said, I never want to see you again. And he said, I've every time I've wanted to just end a relationship, I've done that. I did that with my first wife. He said, any time I'm upset with somebody, I just write them a letter. I tell them how terrible they are, and they never ever see me again. I've never had anybody respond like that. I thought, I've never responded like that before. But he said, I just want you to know, I appreciate you, and I'm sorry. And we reconciled. You know what? We're friends to this day. You know what? Later on, he went into full-time Christian ministry. It's amazing what God will do if you just have a thankful heart. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. The Bible says that we're to give thanks every day. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. The third thing that we need to do, every day we need to praise him. Now, thanks means to say thank you for something you've given me. Thank you for some specific blessing. The gift. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the for the comfort in my life. Thank you for the car that I drive. Thank you for the house that I have. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my family. That's giving thanks. Praise, on the other hand, is to say something good about somebody. If I look at Brother Neil and say, hey, nice tie. Hey, you're really looking good. Hey, I just want you to know, I think you're a wonderful guy. I really appreciate your open heart. What I'm doing is I am praising him. The Bible says we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We ought to daily praise the Lord. We ought to tell him how wonderful he is. We ought to sing to him and tell him he's wonderful. I sing to the Lord every day. I really do. I this morning sang to him, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning my song shall rise to thee. Only thou art holy, merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I sang that to him, sang some other verses that I won't hurt your ears with. You know what? He likes my singing. You say, why do you sing to him? Because I don't have really the great vocabulary I would like to have to tell him how wonderful he is. But I can sing to him, your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. You are the mighty King. You're master of everything. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. You're the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God, are you? I bow down before you. I love and adore you. I can take those words that somebody else has written and sing them to him, and I can praise him every day. Every day you ought to praise the Lord. Every day you ought to worship him. Every day you ought to thank him. Every day you ought to praise him. Every day you ought to confess your sin to him. Every day you ought to say, Lord, I just want you to know that I recognize my sin. And if you can't, you say, well, I can't think of any sin to confess. Then confess your pride. Say, Lord, I'm so proud. I'm so stinking proud. I don't even know that I've sinned. I think I'm doing pretty good. I want to confess that to you. Well, you say, well, I don't sin. Well, then confess your lying. And get right with God. Confess to God every single day. Confession. The Bible says we need to confess our sins to God every day. We ought to let him know that we recognize that we don't deserve anything that he's given to us. Number one, worship him. Number two, thank him. Number three, praise him. Number four, confess your sin to him. And then number five, tell him that you love him. Tell him that you love him every single day. Just say to him, I love you. Does he really want to hear me say I love you? Let me tell you this. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose from the dead. Right after he rose from the dead, he was walking on the shore one day, and he came across a fellow named Peter. And when he saw Peter, I'm not sure it was for the first time, close to the last time, when he saw Peter, he was interested in one thing. He didn't ask Peter, will you serve me? He didn't ask Peter, will you go someplace? Peter, would you do anything? This is what he said. He said, Peter, do you love me? He really wanted to hear Peter say, I love you. Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, well, you know, I really like you like a brother. And I can equate to Peter. When I think of God saying to me, do you love me unconditionally? I have to say to you, Lord, I have to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm selfish about my love. I only love you because you first loved me. My granddaughter is very precious to me. I know you didn't think I had a granddaughter. You thought I was about 32, but I do have a granddaughter, and her name is Ashlyn. Ashlyn, I love Ashlyn. She's very dear to me. She comes to my office and she says, Grandpa. She actually says, Grandpa. Grandpa, she says, I love you. That means, Grandpa, where's the lollipops? She's interested in what I have for her, and I've let her know since the day she was born, anything she ever wants, she can come to me and she can get it. I love to talk to her. The other day she called me up I called her up. I called to talk to her dad, my son, and we're always harassing each other, my son and I, and so I called him up and I said, I wanted to talk to him. She answered the phone. She said, hi, Grandpa. I said, "Well, hi, Ashlyn. I'd rather talk to her than her dad." And she said, I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm playing." And then she said, "Are you a chump?" I said, "What?" That's what it sounded like. "Are you a chump?" I said, "Are you asking me, am I a chump? Where is your dad?" She said, "No, Grandpa. Are you a chump?" I said, "What?" She said, "Are you a chump?" And I said, "If your daddy is talking to you, you tell your daddy I am not a chump, and it's not cute to tell your for your daddy to ask me that." And she said, "Grandpa," I said, "tell me what you're trying to say." She said, and I could picture her rolling her eyes. She said, "Okay, Grandpa. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. Are you a church?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I'm at church." And she said, "Okay." And we talked for a little bit more. I love talking to her. I never get upset when she walks into my office. I love to hear from her. And you know what I really love her to do? I love her to come into my office, put her arms around my neck, and just say, "I love you, Grandpa." I don't care if that means I want lollipops. I don't care what that means. I love her. And I love to hear, "I love you." You know what? It amazes me. And you think about this. The God of all creation, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the God that flung the stars into their orbits, into existence, that great God wants to hear me say I love you. He wants me to say I love you. It's an amazing, amazing thing that He would even care to hear from me. And yet He wants to hear me say I love you. When was the last time you said, "I love you," to the Lord? Every single day you need to say, "I love you, Lord. My Jesus, I love you. I know Thou art mine." He needs to hear you. He wants to hear you say, "I love you." Every day you should worship Him. Every day you should thank Him. Every day you should praise Him. Every day you should confess your sin to Him. Every day you should tell Him you love Him. Now, once you've done those things, you need to understand, to that point, you still have not prayed. Because the word prayer, just like the word worship has a definition in the Bible, the word prayer has a definition. The word prayer does not mean to worship. Prayer does not mean thanksgiving. Prayer does not mean confession. The word prayer, by definition, means to ask. There's a tremendous old book written by a man named John R. Rice that I read years ago called Prayer, Asking and Receiving. God wants us to learn that the secret of prayer, and it's very simply the definition, and that is to ask. God wants us, after we have thanked Him, after we have praised Him, after we have worshipped Him, God wants us, after we have confessed our sin, after we have let Him know that we love Him, God wants us to ask Him. He tells us here in James, we have not because we ask not. And when we do ask, we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our own lust. Well, how can I ask and get something from God? How can I ask and get something from God? The answer to that question is found in Luke chapter 11. Take your Bibles and go back to Luke chapter 11. And let's just look at something verse by verse for the next few minutes. And let's see what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus and they wanted to know one thing. They wanted to know how to get their prayers answered. They said to Jesus in verse 1, and the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." So, from verse 2 all the way through verse 13, Jesus answers this specific request. The request, teach us to pray. Here's what Jesus said to do when you pray, and if you pray this way, you will get your prayers answered. Let's look at it. First of all, He said, when you pray, say. The word say means to speak out loud. When you pray, speak out loud. Talk to the Lord. All throughout the Bible, we don't have time to go into it, but throughout the Bible, God tells us we're to call on the name of the Lord. My voice will thou hear in the morning. God tells us that we are to speak out loud when we pray. Why is that? Because God can hear my thinking. God can hear my thoughts. But understand this, demons cannot. And understand this, angels cannot. And when you are by yourself in your closet, by yourself alone in your room, and you call out to God in this physical realm, the demons can hear that. The angels can hear that. We see that example in the book of Job. Job, it cries out to God. And Satan is hearing it. And there's the angels and the demons are all hearing that. And God is receiving glory as Job responds in a positive way. God receives the glory. There are those that are hearing. They're not omnipotent. They can't hear. Or they're not all-knowing. They can't hear your thoughts. They can place thoughts in your mind, but they can't hear them. So God tells us to pray out loud. Call unto Him. Call unto Him. Now, I'm not against praying in your mind and thinking thoughts before God, but God tells us here when you pray, say, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. Then here's the request. Hallowed be thy name. Pray that God's name would be holy in your life. Pray, God, make my life holy. Let your name be holy in my life. Let your name be holy in my family's life. Let your name be holy in my church life. Let your name be holy in this world. God, let your name be holy in my life. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. The Bible tells us that we are representatives of God's kingdom. The Bible says when you got saved, you were in Colossians 1:17, you were translated out of the darkness of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son. You are a kingdom representative. The Bible says here, Jesus says, let your kingdom come. I believe that is to say, God, let your kingdom come in my life. You reign in my life and let people see your kingdom. Let me live for your purpose. Let me live with you in mind. Let your kingdom come in my life. Let your will be done in my life on this earth just like it's done in heaven. Lord, I want to live with your purpose in mind. First of all, Lord, let me be holy. Control my life that I might be holy, that I might represent your holiness. God, let me be pure. Keep me pure. By the way, young people, it's so important. Purity and holiness and determining to stay pure is so, so important. It is that thing that will allow God to use you. God wants you to stay pure. God tells you to stay pure. God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that God allows us, our bodies, to have certain desires so that we can learn how to control those passions, so that we can learn how to possess our vessels under holiness, so that in the midst of a dirty world, we can represent His holiness. Let your name be holy in my life. Let your kingdom come in my life. Let your will be done in my life. Let me live for your purpose. God, control me and let your holiness and your truth be true in my life. Let me represent you and your holiness and your kingdom and your will on this earth just like it's done in heaven. Then he says, pray, give me this day my daily bread. The daily bread that is mentioned here, I believe, is in reference to the Holy Spirit, because if we go down to verse 13, the Bible says this. He says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And in reference to that, in verse 11, he says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Basically, what you're saying is when you say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread, you're saying, God, give me everything I need today to accomplish your will, to represent your kingdom, to show your holiness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Control me. And then give me everything I need to accomplish your will. Give me this day my daily bread. And then he said, pray, forgive me my sin. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Hey, you know what? God wants us to have a forgiving heart. The truth of the matter is all of our sins have been forgiven at Calvary, and that's something to be thankful for. But day by day, we get dirty. Day by day, we do things wrong. And so we need to confess it, and we need to say, Lord, forgive me, so that we can practice forgiveness of others. See, as I go and I ask God to forgive me, it makes me realize hey, I shouldn't be upset with my brother. I shouldn't be upset with that guy over there. He did some things and I got upset with him. That was wrong. God, forgive me as I'm forgiving others. And then he says, pray, lead us not into temptation. Where temptation there means trials. Lead me not into trials. Lead me not into temptations. Can I ask God to deliver me from trials? Jesus said to do it. And by the way, this is a daily prayer. This is something you ought to pray every single day. You say, how do you know that? Because he says, pray, give me day by day. So obviously, this is something that you're to ask God for every single day. When somebody pointed this out to me some time ago, I looked at him and I thought, hey, what are you, turning Catholic? Catholics recite what's called the Lord's Prayer every day. You know, and if they get in trouble, they have to do 18 Our Fathers or 32. Or if it was me as a kid, it would be 150 Our Fathers. But that's not what this is all about. See, the Bible says God doesn't want vain repetition. Vain repetition means empty-headed mouthing of words. That would be like speaking in tongues. That would be like repeating this over and over, not thinking about it. But God tells us, Jesus said, when you pray, say these things. This is a prayer list that God says you ought to pray every day. Let that your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily needs and forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The word evil is in the masculine there. It means the evil one. God, deliver me from satanic attack. In Matthew, he says, pray that your kingdom and your power and your glory might be known. We ought to pray that way day by day. You pray those things every single day. You ask God to work in your life every single day. I guarantee you God will do that. If every day you thank Him, every day you praise Him, every day you worship Him, every day you confess your sin, every day you tell Him you love Him, and then every day you ask Him for the things He told you to ask Him for, you will see the power of God move in your life. You say, well, I really want the power of God in my life. I really want it, but I've asked God, but it just doesn't seem to come. Well, here's what you need to do. Look, there are certain things that God will put in your heart to pray for, and you pray for them, and you pray for them, and you pray for them, and you don't give up. In verses 5 through 10, the Bible says, and I don't have the time to tell you this, but the Bible says there that a man came at night to a friend. He came to his friend, and he was in need. And his friend said, listen, I don't have anything to meet your need with. You need bread. I don't have bread. But then he thought, wait a minute. I have a friend that has bread. I can go to my friend because my friend has a need. I can go to my friend and I can get from him what I can't get for myself. Let me tell you something. I went to Las Vegas 29 years ago. And as soon as I got there, I got to thinking, boy, this is too big of a job for me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm supposed to get the gospel to every single home in the city of Las Vegas. How in the world am I going to do that? God, I can't do that. I don't have the bread. There's no way I can meet the need. And you know what I started doing? I started praying. I started asking God. In this passage, he says, keep on asking and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. He that seeketh, that is, keeps on seeking. He that keeps on knocking, he keeps on knocking, will find. He that keeps on asking will receive. In this passage, he says, the man went to his neighbor, and he didn't get it the first request, and so he just kept asking, and he kept asking, and he kept asking. And the Bible says, because of his importunity, because he kept on asking God, God gave to him. Listen, you need the power of God in your life. You need the forgiveness of God in your life. You need the Holy Spirit to work through your life. You want to be a kingdom representative. You want to do the will of God. You want the strength of God to accomplish in your life what God wants you to accomplish. And let me tell you what to do. You start day by day practicing prayer. You day by day you go to God and you say, this is what I want. 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 You just keep asking. And when it doesn't come, this is what you do. You just keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking. And when it doesn't come, you just keep on going and you just keep on going and you just keep on going. And when it doesn't come, you just keep on seeking and you just keep on seeking and you just keep on seeking. And as you keep asking God and as you keep pleading for God and as you keep begging God, God will answer prayer. I promise you that from the Word of God. God says if you keep on asking, you shall receive. If you keep on seeking, you shall find. And if you keep on knocking, the doors will be open unto you. 29 years ago, we started Liberty Baptist Church. I stood up in front of 68 people who came to our first service. I said, people, a lot of people wonder why you take an offering in a church. We're about to take an offering. The reason we're going to take an offering today is because I've got $14 in the bank account. I didn't know anything about deputation. I didn't know anything about church planting. I didn't know anything about that. I've written about it now, but I didn't know anything about it then. So I just said to our people, the people that were there, they weren't even our people. I said, I need your help. If you'd like to give, you give. From that day forward, we have asked every week that God would supply our needs. Started off with $14 in our bank account. God has given us over $8 million worth of buildings and properties in the Las Vegas Valley. God has blessed us. We have been, God this past year allowed us to give out over $500,000 to missionaries around the world. God allowed us to do that. God allowed us to do that. You say, who? How? How? Just simple prayer. I don't even know how God did it all. I look every week. You say, when did you get everything you needed? I haven't gotten there yet. All the things we've been asking God for, we're still asking God for. I want you to know this. You ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You pray the way God tells you to pray. After you've confessed your sin, after you've told Him you loved Him, after you've worshipped Him, after you've thanked Him, after you've praised Him, and you go to Him daily, and ask Him and ask Him and ask Him. You make a prayer list, because if you don't have a prayer list, you won't have a prayer life. You make a prayer list, and God will hear and answer your prayers, and that will be for the glory of God.